Hello and welcome to Horror Podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Black Christmas from 1974, directed by Bob Clark, who also directed A Christmas Story and Baby Geniuses.
Okay.
I never put that together. It does look like early in his career in like the 70s, he was doing a lot of like crime movies and like B horror movies. But then at a certain point he made Porky's, and then I guess he was off to the mainstream. But you know, this is considered like one of the first slashers. It's one that I had never seen until like pretty recently. Did you watch it for the first time with me
last time
we watched this? Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Because I think this was another one of those movies that my family would put on. And
oh, so you'd already seen it?
No, I'd only seen parts of it. I'd never seen the whole movie. So when I watched it with you, it was the first time I watched the whole movie.
I know the feeling. I've definitely had movies like that where I'd catch them on TV, and then it's like 2 years ago, I finally watch them like all the way through.
Yeah.
But no, this, I avoided it because for a lot of my life, I didn't really like older movies that much.
Yes.
And I wasn't into slashers, and both of those things changed with you. So we did see this like a few years ago. And I remember my takeaway the first time seeing it, which is like still accurate now, is that the movie, like, it feels very cozy in the way a lot of these, like, especially slashers from the 70s and 80s do feel, which is kind of a weird way to describe a movie that's about like a killer in a sorority house, which I guess that's like the setup of this movie.
Yeah.
Is there seems to be a killer who is targeting young women in this neighborhood, and it kind of escalates. But the thing is, like, yeah, most of the movie, it is very, like, slow, but not in a way that ever bothered me, you know? It's weird how it still feels like there's a lot happening, even though it does have this, like, slower pace to it. And there's also not a lot of, like, big shocking stuff. Like, there aren't, like, big graphic kills like you'd expect from a slasher. But the whole movie, like, I really enjoyed sitting through it, you know, but I remember, like, the first time as it got to the ending, I was like, okay, you know, that's, like, a good one of those from that era. And then they hit you with the ending.
Yeah.
And the ending is the thing that is so iconic that I also think is kind of becoming divisive. It probably always was, but the ending stuck with me for like an extremely long time. And every time I think about it, I'm just like, God, like that's just such a genius way to end this thing.
Yeah.
And you can see why, because I did see that people involved in the production were trying to get them to change it. And you can see why it's like the obvious thing. I mean, let's leave that shit on the table because we're just going to spoil the shit out of this if we really talk about it too much. But the ending is the thing that makes it, and it's what I can't wait to talk about in the next section. Because, yeah, the rest of the movie, what is there to say? I mean, it just is what it is. It has, like, it is this, in a way, a kind of murder mystery. It's like the giallo style of slasher, which, like, I hate when people talk about that because it sounds so fucking pretentious, but it really is a certain type where it's not like it would be like if Friday the 13th, if half the movie was the police trying to figure out like who is under the mask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's a different type of slasher where there is like a crime element to it and everything. And there is this mystery at the bottom of it about like who is the killer because you never get to see them. And it's like that mystery is part of the misdirection that makes the ending so incredible. What do you want to say about it?
I really like this movie. I think I was looking back at my Letterboxd score that I had before. I think I like it more than I did then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For some reason.
It's about the same for me. I mean,
I know you loved it.
Well, I think like knowing what happens in the ending does shape watching it the second time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, it's not as shocking, but it's just interesting to see like how they handle everything along the way.
Definitely. It's definitely like I was having a different conversation with myself, like watching the movie than the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the movie does definitely play with some like feminist themes too, which you can see because I haven't watched any of the remake ones. I've heard there is at least one that's like very girl power and like really focuses on that. And it's maybe not the best movie. I think that came out in a time when some of those themes were getting a little heavy-handed and didn't feel like... It felt like studios being like, hey, people like this feminist shit now, so let's let's just shove this out the door. You know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of saying anything like really...
That's all superficial.
Smart about it. Yeah. Excellent. You agree with me. So that
I do.
Validates what me, a man, is saying.
I don't represent all women. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like all anti-woke or something. It's not about that.
No.
You know, like that stuff can absolutely make a movie way better if you have something to say about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And this movie does, even though I think I read that like the people involved when they were asked about this kind of dismissed it in the stupid way of like, oh no, we just weren't thinking about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just whatever. And I always hate that, even though maybe that's the truth. But it does. It also doesn't like it doesn't downplay what's there, because I've always said, you know, whatever you read from a text, from an artistic work, is valid and meaningful. And I think there is a lot that you can read from this that is really effective.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think it's a little silly to say they brought that up without really trying to make a statement about it, because, I mean, especially during the time period this was made, like there are a lot of protests for women's rights and, you know,
I mean, this
protecting
is right
abortion.
After, this is right after Roe versus Wade. Yeah. So it just feels like a little on the nose.
Yeah.
And yeah, as much as it doesn't lean into the gore or anything, I would say it has the most Christmas kill ever in a movie, which we'll get into in spoilers. But
yeah,
that was really like, damn, fuck yeah. That's cool.
It was cool.
So yeah, I mean, overall, I think it definitely has some older sensibilities, but it doesn't feel dated in the way plenty of other movies around this period would feel. I guess partly because I think that's just a testament to how well executed the whole concept is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the acting and stuff feels very believable too.
And even though, like, all of the styling and everything is very heavily, like, 70s. Like, it is...
Yeah.
But it doesn't even feel dated in that way. It just seems like capturing a moment in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I still think the ending holds up and fucking rocks. Like, everything about the execution of the ending, like, I could just gush on and on about it. It's cool.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in spoilers. So, yeah, right away, I love how... Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. Look.
I didn't ask.
Shit. Oh, no. I
fucked myself up.
You got it.
Hold on. Okay.
You got it. It's coming back to you.
I love how it takes a pretty well-worn concept. I mean, this is a movie that's based on, like, that old scary story, you know, about the babysitter.
Yeah.
And the call being inside the house.
Yeah.
Which I remember reading different versions of that in a billion, like, scary story collections that I read as a kid. If you don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't. It's just a story about babysitter being alone in a house, keeps getting weird phone calls, and then the big twist at the end, this is the police are like, the calls are coming from inside the house after they trace it. And yeah, I mean, that's a cool, like, scary concept that you can play around with. And it's like, it's the fact that that is part of the backbone of this movie, as well as you know, it's a serial killer targeting, like, a sorority and young girls. It's all, like, very tropey and feels, like, very, very dated. Mm-hmm. But they build something around it that part of why it works is because the actors and the characters and stuff feel very real and grounded, not in, like, a caricature kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
Because right away, it's, like, it's when they're getting these phone calls that are, like, super creepy. The way that, like, you would normally think you'd be freaking out, they're just like, yeah. Because it's almost like, because he's saying, like, all this dirty shit.
Yeah.
And it's very much, as a woman, like, you're just subjected to this
that
kind of shit
happens
a lot.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately.
So yeah, the way they're able to just be like, okay, like, even that stuff feels, it's like, it feels modern in a certain way.
Yeah. Harassing and stalking women, unfortunately, is just a timeless subject. Yes. Unfortunately.
Tale as old as time.
Somehow I can't look back on this movie and be like, oh, wow, remember when that used to happen? Yeah, there's a lot being said in this movie, and I think it all does it, like, extremely well.
Yeah, it's certain things like that, and with the fact that one of the lead characters is dealing with an unwanted pregnancy, is talking about abortion, and that becomes like this big argument between her and her boyfriend. And just the way that that's addressed, where she's taking her own bodily autonomy while he's saying like, oh, I have a say in this, you know, and she's just acting like, no, it's my body, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Like it's all those little things that are kind of happening in the background that just make it feel more believable,
mm-hmm.
you know, and makes them more human.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the things that's so timeless in this.
It does a really great way of like illustrating the dynamics of dating, especially then.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even ask her to marry him. He's just like, hey, look, we're gonna you're gonna marry me, okay? Not even okay, just you're gonna marry me. It's yeah. like, yeah.
But then it's also cool that like you build all that stuff up and all these great characters. And I mean, right out the gate, they introduce the danger too. Because the one girl who is like the virgin of the household, she gets targeted in the very beginning of the movie. And that leads to one of the most iconic things about this, which was in fucking Terrifier 3 recently. You know, it's that he chokes her with like the piece of plastic. And then there's just constantly going back to her in the attic in the rocking chair with the plastic over it. It's a very like chilling and iconic shot. And every time they go back to it, it's always like very quick. And it's just suddenly like a reminder, you know, of what's going on.
Yeah. There's also the moment of like women's intuition again, when the one roommate, I can't remember her name, with the curly hair and the glasses. She's like, I feel it. I know that she's dead. Like, and she's like upset and like expressing that. And her friends are like, no, she's not dead. She's fine. And she's like literally up in the attic dead.
But, well, and it's also just scary how, the whole time all this is happening, she's just in the attic.
Yeah.
You know, as is the killer. And that's that creates this like sense of dread in the movie where you just never feel safe, like knowing that the killer is literally above them.
Yeah.
With the bodies of the people he's killed.
Yeah.
But I like how, that there's a certain point where they introduce like this crime element to it, which is kind of like part of the giallo part of the whole story that feels like that. Because then there's a big focus on like the detectives doing all this investigating and trying to figure out who it is, even though you know he's in the house the whole time. I like that, it's a movie that does feel like it's constantly moving and the characters are doing believable, realistic things in this situation. But you just have, that sense of dread the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think watching it a second time, the misdirection is a lot more effective because they really lean into making you want to think it's this boyfriend. I mean, right away when he's doing the like piano recital thing, I don't know shit about music, but like, what the fuck was that he was playing? He just sounds like he's banging on the keys. I sound like such a what's the word for that? This is probably very insulting to piano players and people who understand penis. Yes. Or anyone who just like appreciates music, but like it does feel like they kind of set it up right away, like there's something wrong with this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I think it's more so a comment on his mental state than really like
But and then it does feel like a lot of the clues are like pointing back to him. And that's one of the things, like there is such a mystery around the killer that it made me wonder how much of it is like his own experience mirroring like what they're going through. Because remember, it's all the stuff with him talking about the baby and putting the fucking baby doll on her and while she's dealing with this pregnancy and everything. And in watching it made me wonder, like, is he overhearing them? And that's why he's saying these things? Or is it just like a coincidence that they line up, you know?
I don't know. I feel like you could definitely argue that he's listening. Like,
yeah. I think that's almost scarier, even though I think it's supposed to be like he has some kind of backstory. But I like the idea that he is overhearing everything the whole movie.
Yeah.
And that's why he's like acting this shit out.
Yeah.
Something about that feels like scarier.
Yeah, that is very scary.
And I do like that when he makes those phone calls, like they are not subtle at all.
Not
like just someone breathing into the phone or whatever. It is the most insane performance.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I read that there's like three different actors that they use to play that to make it sound like, even more confusing.
I love that, honestly.
Yes, because he's just like shouting and acting out scenes and using like incredibly coarse language and shit.
Yes.
I thought that was cool. And it does, like, all of this as a whole, it builds up to making the ending like that much scarier.
Oh, yeah.
Which I will get to. But the little bit that you do get about the killer is still like incredibly effective, because like the iconic shot of the eyeball through the door.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was one of the things that stuck with me. I don't know why that looks so unsettling.
It looks so cool.
That eye looks crazy as shit.
Yeah. The composition in this movie is just like beautiful.
Yeah.
And that, I think that also adds in with everything else that's going right. Mm-hmm. This is, the composition is very much going right, and I love it.
Yes, I agree. The movie does look beautiful. But yeah, that shot, and then the kill that comes up, like the one that is the ultimate Christmas kill,
yeah,
is when there's the fucking carolers outside, which we talked about how, like, man, I guess that is a tradition that is long dead. I
yeah.
almost forgot about it, even though I definitely remember that from my childhood.
Yes.
And you were a caroler.
I don't want to talk about this.
We don't have to talk about it. We could just mention you were a caroler.
It was not by my own will.
I think anyone who was going to church back then, this is just such a normal thing. I think my church did this, and I was just like, I'm good. Because I wasn't in, like, the choir or anything. So I would judge you, okay? Church makes kids do a lot of weird
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But yeah, it's the fact that there's the carolers outside while he's inside stabbing her with, like, an icicle. And is so artistically done,
yes,
and it keeps switching back and forth.
Looks so good.
It really feels like an art piece. Like,
oh,
the way
God,
it's
yeah.
cutting to all this random artsy-looking shit, and there's, like, the really harsh contrast, you know, like, everything's in shadow. It is super cool.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate Christmas kill.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that can come close to that.
I know, I agree.
And I like that that's the only, like, really big kill that they show in the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And it adds to the effect of what's happening, too.
Yes.
It's great.
This probably blew their fucking tits off back in the 70s.
I guess there's a conversation also happening about how friends or law enforcement or whatever will almost instantly dismiss any report of, like, abuse or anything like that, like how that's handled. There is, like, a moment there that's showing how women are gaslit when bad things happen to them. So it happens. It still happens.
This movie does not like cops.
Yeah.
And it does feel like the cops are kind of failing them constantly. Like, even in the ending.
Yeah, they fumble the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny how the local police officer is seen as being, like, so completely useless to the point when he, like, brings this stuff up with the detective. He's kind of like, yeah, we should probably investigate this. Like,
yeah,
this is crazy.
Yeah.
And also, like, the phone call that he has with when they trace the call and he's telling her to get out of the house and he's just, like, completely fumbles that shit.
Oh, yeah. There's just so, there's, like,
so useless.
No disregard for any, like, this woman is not, like, a human object. Like, he's, I don't know. But I like that, too, because, I mean, unfortunately, the little dopey cop, like, that is unfortunately, like,
very common.
Very common.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be. It should be looked at like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're not the best and the brightest. but, I mean, we're beating around the bush. The ending, that is the thing that makes this movie. And, like, I remember the first time we saw it, you know, there's the big chase and scuffle between the, like, quote-unquote final girl.
Mm-hmm.
And even that's kind of scary because when she runs into the room and closes the door and he's just going fucking crazy, like screaming and kicking the door, it just makes him feel like very dangerous and unhinged. And I guess in the back of your head, you're thinking that it's her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way they build up to the confrontation in the basement when you see him looking in and looking for her and she's looking terrified.
Yeah.
I remember the first time even feeling kind of like, he seems very calm. Like, is that part of him being a fucking lunatic?
Yeah.
You know? And I think, like, it was already, it kind of confused me the first time, where it points to, like, when he comes in, he never attacks her. Mm-hmm. You just see him dead afterwards. Yeah. It looks like they just had a confrontation.
Yeah.
And I felt like the reason I say confused is because it felt like this misdirection that I didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. It was like, wait, why does this like, it feels like there's something off about this.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel right.
Right.
And it's like, is that deliberate or is it just like, was it shot weird, mm-hmm. you know? But what hit me is, yeah, after the police are there and everyone's like, all right, wrap it up. The crazy guy's dead. We're good. And one by one, they all kind of leave and turn the lights off and she's left alone.
Yeah.
You know, sleeping it off. And it's this, from this point on is where it's like, this is cinematic perfection.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious. I think this like should go down in the Hall of Fame because it's every part of it. It's the way that it like, it sticks on her for a really long time. So you start getting uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, why is the movie still going?
Because you should feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like it built all this up and now it's like just taking its time, like mm-hmm. releasing it, you know, because it just slowly goes through the house.
Yes.
And when it stops in the rooms, there's like that little musical note,
mm-hmm.
like every part of it is so uncomfortable.
Oh my God. The soundtrack is so good.
And I love how it's like silent except in those little moments and it just keeps building the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes like 5 minutes just to get to the attic where it also just hangs on that hole leading into the attic. And you hear him like walking around and shit. I mean, it's perfect.
It is.
And that was the thing. Like the first time I watched this, it's like I said, the whole time I was like, yeah, this is good. I'm enjoying this. But I was like, not 100% checked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
This shit had me glued. Like from the beginning, I like could not look away because it was just so amazing.
Yeah, I like thoroughly enjoyed watching this again with you. Like,
oh yeah,
it was.
It still works.
It does. It's like a perfect Christmas horror movie.
Yes, it's great. It has like the perfect vibes for this.
Yeah,
you know, it's like hard to say because almost like it's hard to define. Because I don't want a movie that's like big and doing a whole fucking lot. I like that it's more like reserved and quiet. Like for some reason, that feels more cozy and Christmassy to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And this happens over the period of 2 days, I think, right? Is it Christmas Eve and Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very short time period.
Yeah.
Which is also nice because it really feels like you're living through this with them the whole time. And yeah, and then at the end, you know, you see still that iconic body in the window.
Yeah.
And it's that realization that, like, it's all still there. They don't even realize it's still there.
And she's still in danger.
Yes. And, like, that's the part of it because it culminates that whole feeling of danger that's in the whole movie. That's, like, you can never feel safe.
Yeah.
But the other big part of it that I kind of hinted at is that when you realize, like, no, it's not this guy. And the whole time you're building up in your head like, okay, I see why, like, he didn't get in the school. He's dealing with this pregnancy and his girlfriend. And and it's like he snapped. And then when you take that away, it's like, wait. Like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? Like, who is this guy? Like, he's really fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And that too, like when that curtain comes down, it's just like, oh, he is really like the scariest fucking slasher killer, you know. What do we always come back on with that?
Killer?
Just killer. He's the craziest killer in like any of the, like I always like that because that's, you know, that's what Halloween does too.
Yeah.
With, at least with the early ones.
You know? Yeah. I think they definitely have a similar approach to like, first of all, I am a huge fan of killer POV. Like
that. Oh yeah. They do that
works
too.
Works so well. And it's just like, Even the like natural way that the camera moves to like a human moving, it's just so good.
Yeah. But it's the less is more. And I think that like the thing that I've seen some people criticize and what the studios wanted it to be more obvious, of course. And I have seen like some people who complain about the ending because they're like, what? Who is he then? Like, there's no resolution. And the people who treat it like you don't get resolution, they don't understand what it's doing. Because it resolves in the best way. Like, that unknown feeling of knowing nothing about who this is and having the rug pulled like that, that's what makes it so effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got any other details about him other than that, it would fall apart. It wouldn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be as chilling.
Yeah.
Because I think it's scarier not knowing. Mm-hmm. So it's a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still super effective. I love this movie so much.
Yeah, I do too.
This is like a 5-star for me.
Okay.
I think the first time I saw it, I was like, this might be my favorite slasher. And I think I might hold on to that, honestly.
No, I love this movie. Like I said, I loved it way more watching it this time around than for some reason. I don't think I was fully paying attention the first time.
Well, yeah, I think I can understand that because it goes into what I was saying that I was like, I was along for it and I was having a good time. And the ending is what was like, oh shit, you really should have been paying attention because this is like the best fucking shit.
Yeah.
And that, I think that is part of why the second one, watching it the second time works better.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're in for now. You know this is a serious fucking slasher.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely really loved watching it the second time around.
Yeah. I don't got anything else. What about you?
Nope.
You can go to GhostBeast.com for all their links, and you can search for Ghost Beast Pod. You can also follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd and TikTok. Wait, and Letterboxd is where we rank, not TikTok. We're ranking. Okay, I know where I'd put it. I was already like, this is going to go in the pantheon, but where? This is where the rankings are more serious.
Yeah.
I put it above Possession, but below Cat People.
I honestly, yeah, because I can't. It's too much to budge to go any other
way.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that makes it number 5 on our list. You can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Our... any of the other, I don't even know how many other Black Christmas movies there are. Are any of them worth watching at all? Because I've only heard bad things.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me know. Bye.